News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Latham. In a fatal crash on Old Kings Road South, officers first on the scene Tuesday night performed CPR, but they were unable to save the man whose car hit a tree north of Sunbeam Road. He hasn't been identified as the investigation continues. The fiancée of a man who was shot last week in a Jacksonville Walmart parking lot says the victim was followed and targeted. Diane Perez tells News 4 Jax that she and David Medina were approached by a car full of suspicious people in the lot on Collins Road Thursday night just before the shots were fired, hitting Perez three times. One bullet shattered his jaw, the others hit his lower body. Perez says she and Medina know at least one of the three men in the car, but police say there is not enough evidence for an arrest. Their investigation continues. That's Jacksonville.radio News.
Ask an attorney about Florida law.
WBOB and The Answer invites you to join Joseph Pippin Saturday mornings at 8. He'll answer your questions about Florida state planning, Medicaid, divorce, family law, guardianship, adoption, tax law, and personal injury. Call attorney Joe Pippin Saturday mornings at 8. Right here, WBOB, The Answer.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
295 southbound at Town Center Parkway, as always, at an extra 7 minutes. And 295 northbound at Butler at about 5 minutes. And we're still dealing with southbound on the Buckman Bridge at an extra 13 minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of almost 85. This evening, a few clouds, 68 the low. Right now, it's 69 degrees. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Trump administration wants to send block grants to states like Florida as a way to curb the rising cost of Medicaid. A new Gallup poll finds 90% of Americans are satisfied with their personal lives. And former Empire star Jesse Smollett has been indicted again.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600. 831-0600 or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Don't forget, coming up in about an hour, we've got the Ed Dean Extra. Every day we put up a new podcast. Very entertaining, very fast paced. Just go to WBOB.com and click on where it says the Ed Dean Extra. Why? Because I am a little extra.
Okay.
All right. That's what I hear.
At least you're honest.
At least I'm honest. All right. Talk radio WBOB. Let's continue on with the news. I want to get to some Bernie Sanders news. Oh, you can't get enough of the burn, trust me. But anyway, mortgage default rates. How many know what it is? Is it like a foreclosure? Some could say it's close enough, but a default rate is the percentage of outstanding loans a lender has written off. Because why? People are missing missed payments. That's right. Well, they're missing the payments. Typically, a loan is declared default after 270 days, and according to the Federal Reserve Bank, are you ready for this? Today is at the highest level since that of the Great Depression. From the National Association of Home Builders, Jerry Howard says, I can't explain it.
The default rate is at its highest level since the financial crisis. Can you explain that?
We're trying to figure it out ourselves. This is really, really shocking to us, Stuart. I got to tell you, the economy is strong.
Yep.
Unemployment is low. Mortgage rates are low. And yet we're seeing an uptick. Now, the only thing I can say about it with certainty is when you look at it in perspective, it's still a relatively low number. It's just the highest it's been since the end of the recession.
Well, you figure that out. It's the highest since out of the Great Recession as U.S. household debt tops a new record of $14 trillion and $752 billion in mortgage refinancing. That number hasn't seen since out of the days of 2005. Now, there are delinquencies for credit cards and student loans. Yes, hence the word student loans. And a lot of young people, millennials in their 20s and 30s, are the ones that have the biggest delinquency right out there. But here's the question. Are we heading towards another recession out there? Is it going to be another Great Depression? No, going to be another Great Recession? I don't think so. Having said this, what the individuals out there in the real estate market are saying, Roger, well, people are making more money, so they're acquiring more debt. A lot of people went into debt, of course. Remember 2005, the housing market was no ending in sight. Everybody was going to, you know, go home and boom, and own four houses. Boom, the market was going to continue to explode, and it imploded out there. People went into debt in order to help suffice after a job loss. They're saying what this is different, not spending this. What they're saying is different is that people are making more money, so they've got more debt.
Exactly. You know, there's something called consumer confidence, and maybe that confidence has been a little too high, and then people get in over their heads.
When it comes to the economy, it's still, according to Gallup, the best in years.
Americans are increasingly rating this as the best economy since 1999. A new Gallup survey finding that 59% of Americans are better off financially today than they were a year ago, and nearly three quarters predict that they will do even better a year from now.
But yet the Democrats can't seem to run on the economy. The majority of people, whether they agree with Trump's views on some issues or his tweets, they still give him an overall approval rating. When it comes to the economy, Democrats are still trying to ward off the good news and defending the legacy of that of President Barack H. Obama. Democrat Brad Sherman says Trump is riding on an autopilot where the plane lifted off successfully under the Obama administration.
And finally, as to the jobs growth we've seen recently, I do need to point out the jobs grew much faster in the last 3 years of the Obama administration than the first 3 years of the Trump administration. Mm. It is as if Trump inherited a plane, as he inherited so much else. The plane was on automatic pilot, and it was going in the right direction, and he hasn't managed to completely screw it up.
Again, I would like to, as a former, well, still am, a member of the media, to the Democrats, when did President Obama own the economy after he was blaming Bush for so many years? My question is does President Trump own the current economy? How many of you are feeling the burn?
And let me say tonight that this victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
ODB wins it. Bernie Sanders now next is Nevada and South Carolina. Shannon Bream, Fox News analyst, points out that even Democrats, early Democrats in these polls, say that if anybody, despite the good economy out there, if the Democrats feel that Bernie is the best one to handle the economy.
Now, to the economy, no doubt President Trump is out there touting his economic record on the campaign trail. Who do primary voters here, Democrats, think can do the best job handling the economy? Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are the top picks. After that, it's a pair of billionaires in Mike Bloomberg and Tom Steyer.
So there you go. So Bernie Sanders is the one to fix the economy. Bernie Sanders, I did get more votes in Iowa, even though Buttigieg technically won that. And Bernie wins in New Hampshire. But according to the majority of the Bernie bros, the Bernie Sanders supporters, he did get shafted, Roger, 4 years ago. Let's be honest. They still believe it's not going to be a fair election.
We asked Democratic primary voters here how much faith they had in the party's process for picking a nominee. Is it fair? Well, just about 6 in 10 think it is fair. Now, among folks backing Bernie Sanders, though, over half of them say they're actually not confident in this system.
So wait a second. They're winning, but they're not confident in the system.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking, they're thinking 4 years ago, and Hillary Clinton and the Democratic establishment really did Bernie wrong as far as on paper is concerned. But I think the entire primary system is not fair at all when places like Iowa and New Hampshire, every single election, get to go first and weed out the candidates that the rest of us get to vote for. I don't think that's fair.
And maybe interesting. Maybe in some of the open primaries where Republicans get to pick Dems get to pick Republicans
yes.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be shaping up a dichotomy, a division, perhaps a civil war in the Democratic Party between those who want a revolution, which I think is a minority of the party, and those who just want to ride home. They want to get a designated driver, get them home.
That's MSNBC's Chris Matthews. They just want to get a ride home. He says, I don't think there's a revolutionary change in the Democratic Party. Really? And let me ask you a question. Was there a revolutionary change when Trump ran? Roger? Yes.
Yeah.
With the establishment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think, by voting for Bernie, I think a lot of Democrats do see it that way. But the Democrats are trying to ward off the argument that there are a bunch of socialists out there. Former Clinton official Joe Lockhart and CNN's Don Lemon. No, the Democratic Party is actually center left. They're a centrist party, Raj.
My worry about Senator Sanders is very specific to the numbers. He doesn't represent the majority of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is a center-left party, not a far-left party. Medicare for All is not popular among Democrats when you take away the private health insurance options.
We've had this whole...
So we're not a far-left party. Here's my question to you out there listening. And you think I'm being joking? I'm being serious now. Democrats and or Republicans, tell me, what if currently the Democratic Party is center on? Roger, do you know? I mean, usually I think of these things, but off the top of my head, no.
Can't think of anything except sometimes national defense, sometimes not.
Interesting. All right. I'm just thinking for
that's the only thing I can think of.
So can the Democrats tell me, or do the Republicans tell me where the Democratic Party is centrist on what issue?
Thing about the Democrats are moving to the left, right, and it's socialist and it's on and on and on. And so I've been giving people the facts about the Democratic Party that it's actually a centrist party, right? It's actually a more moderate, most people make up the more moderates.
Well, again, I keep asking the question, what are they moderate on, Raj?
Well, I guess he's comparing people like Joe Biden to people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
I'm still trying to figure out what the issue may be.
What used to be far left extremists is now moderate in the Democratic Party because of, you know, the emergence of the popularity of all these, you know, huge spending programs that some of the progressives have recommended, you know.
Okay. Are you okay there? You got food in your mouth?
No, not at all.
I'm just
as baffled as anyone else. Where are they?
We
probably have to remind people about this. And some of the biggest increases to the deficits and ultimately the debt over the last 20-25 years have been wars and tax cuts. And then everybody who hasn't talked about deficits for the longest time gets very, very excited about deficits and says, we're going to have to control these.
That's MSNBC's Ali Velshi. The reason why we got huge deficits going on is all these wars and tax cuts.
The only way we can control these is cutting social spending.
Paul Ryan and the House Republicans used to lecture us and the country about the need for more fiscal responsibility. If you look over a record of time, Democrats have been much more fiscally responsible than Republicans because we don't provide these huge tax breaks for very...
And the Republicans cannot hold any argument on controlling debt and deficits. Let's just be honest here, okay? We got to call it the way it is. But Democrats now concerned about it? I'd like to ask you, what about the first 3 to 4 years of trillion-dollar deficits under Barack H. Obama?
Some people argue...
Please tell me.
Is that his advisors and people like Warren Buffett were saying, hey, we're heading into a 1930s-type depression, and you got to stimulate the economy, so let's blow some money to do that. And he was really kind of continuing some of the legacy of the final economic policies of W.
Yeah, but spending the Reagan and Clinton was based on deregulation, right, and tax cuts. So it's kind of interesting on that one. So interesting dichotomy, the issue you just brought out. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 831-0600-904-831-0600. Your calls are up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
95 northbound between 295 and University, there's some slow traffic at about 9 minutes. And Arlington Expressway westbound between Arlington Road and MLK Parkway at an extra 5 minutes. And we're still dealing with southbound on the Buckman Bridge. That right lane is blocked, so add an extra 13 minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of almost 85. This evening, a few clouds, 68 the low. Right now, it's 69 degrees.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Riesch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Riesch Plumbing promises great work on time. And does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Riesch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Riesch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Riesch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reich Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra-soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, February 14th and Saturday, February 15th at 8 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents a romantic Valentine at the Jacoby Symphony Hall. Saturday, February 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, February 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new Gallup poll finds 90% of Americans are satisfied with their personal lives. Former Empire star Jussie Smollett has been indicted again. And a new report says couples cheat on their partners with unhealthy food.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
19 minutes after 8 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB, a survey of 2,000 people. Conducted by one food brand and onepoll.com, says that, hey, some cheating going on with the food. 71% of Americans say they made unhealthy food choices behind their partner's back. Personally, I think that number's low. It's probably up around the 80% out there. They said that they looked at the behaviors and eating habits of in relationships. 55% of you hid food in your home from your significant other. My question is who does more, men or women? That's the question.
Probably the women. I think women are more concerned about how they look and that sort of thing. And, guys,
they hide it from the other one, or they just don't buy it?
Well, maybe they don't want to, you know, have their husbands look at them.
70% said that they lied to their spouses about their unhealthy behavior. In other words, hey, did you go to the gym today? Oh, yeah. When you're technically, you're at the Red Lobster for lunch today. 34% said they rely on their partner to keep them in check. Oh, believe me, I do that. Never had to do that before, but I'd certainly do it today. 54% of partners encourage one another to save money while establishing better eating habits today. So in other words, you go to the movie theaters, you watch a movie, you buy a Reese's Pieces. In fact, you buy two, one for you and your other. Of course, she wants to be Bernie Sanders. She doesn't want to open up her pack. So instead, Roger, she opens up your pack, takes the majority of the Reese's Pieces.
Takes hers home.
And she puts it in the purse. You know what Roger does when she's sleeping or watching something after church Sunday morning? I'm taking out that Reese's. That's what I did. That's pretty much what happened.
All right.
904-831-0600. Brett Baer, host of Special Report. These are two good clips right here. Interviewed people in 2016 in the state of New Hampshire. Okay. Here is one of the business owners who supported Trump. He does not like the president's language. He does not like the president's tweets, but he likes where the country is going. Clip number 18.
Mike Boucher owns a family tire shop in Manchester. When we talked in 2016, he was concerned about the future of the business and the economy in the region.
This area hurting?
They're hurting, and I think people are just disgusted.
All right, stop right there. It was during the Obama economy. The Democrats tell me nobody was hurting then.
You have that one person that worked all their life, lost their job, can't find another job because things have changed.
Mike was undecided when we last spoke before the 2016 primary.
I did vote for Trump.
A decision that he says has pluses and some minuses.
Calling of names is not the greatest thing, but I believe that a lot of his policies I'm in agreement with.
The president's handling of the economy is a big winner for Mike. All he has to do is look back to 2016.
You were hurting at the time.
Yeah, the economy was down and we were just questioning, you know, how's things are going to go in the future.
So since that time, what's it look like for you?
We've been extremely busy. Business has been good. Our sales have gone up. As a family business, we're all very happy where we are right now.
Boucher says he'll vote for President Trump again, especially after he hears some candidates talking about raising taxes.
Well, you know what's going to happen to the rich. They're going to do what they did before. They're going to take all their money overseas, and then there's no money to tax. So it inevitably falls on the middle class, who's the biggest class, to pay those taxes. And that's
By the way, his name is Boucher. Is he talking like Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy?
Maybe.
Anyway, so he nailed it. Now, follow me for a second, because I want to play another clip of another interesting person who voted for Trump, says that she won't vote for him again, but if Bernie or Warren becomes the nominee, it's a different story. He nailed it. The rich aren't paying for everything. You're going to have to hit the middle class, and he's exactly correct. Here's a question I was thinking of this during the break. I love when Trump goes off script. It's entertaining. We like a lot of people that go off script. But do we not tell them, hey, when you got to go see your doctor, hey, don't joke around, just get to the point, or when you have to go to court.
Or the airport.
Or church. Oh, yeah, the airport. Oh, yeah.
No jokes at the airport allowed.
Yeah. Here's just an interesting question. If Trump were not to go so dogmatic, I'm just saying, he would lose his base, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. Do you think he would gain more from maybe some from Democrats and independents?
Would. I believe that most people in this country really like his policies and the results he's brought in. People who have the biggest complaints about him usually aren't complaining about policies. They're complaining about his personality.
Because I have to throw into the mix here. If, you know, a lot of people go, hey, who would you, and I don't drink. I'm just telling you, this is what the question is asked. How many like to have dinner or beer with? That's how they vote on a lot of people. Well, if that's the case, could Trump, if he was just a little bit more toned down on the tweets and stuff, I think his numbers would go higher.
Yeah,
I think people want to like the guy.
The insults, and I believe the clip you're going to play next.
Yes.
The mom was concerned about her daughter actually hearing a press conference with the president of the United States of America.
Here's the clip. Here's one of the other voters who voted for Trump. Says, "Hey, listen, I'm regretting it, but there's a catch at the end here."
Alyssa Ross is a hockey mom of three. She voted for President Trump in the last presidential election, a choice she finds hard to defend at times.
4 years ago, you voted for Donald Trump.
I did.
And you're kind of smirking when you say that.
Yeah, it's tough to admit. It was tough to admit then. But I really felt that it was the right decision at that time. I felt that he was going to bring the country in a new direction and certainly something different than what Hillary Clinton could have done at the time.
Now, though she likes some of his policies, she says President Trump is too divisive.
I don't like Trump personally at all. I think that his approach to things is just wrong. It's a terrible example for children, the way that he gets on Twitter and puts things out there. I would be horrified if my children did that.
Okay. I think there are a lot of people that are like that. Having said that, there is an interesting catch. Well, what if the nominee on the Democratic side becomes somebody like Bernie Sanders?
If it's Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, you're voting for Donald Trump.
For Donald Trump. Nothing too progressive. I think as troubled as I am with some of the direction that Trump is bringing things from a more conservative perspective, I absolutely do not think this country needs to go in a progressive direction.
So I always ask this question. Is it based on substance or personality? A lot of people love the personality of Donald Trump, and they like the substance as well.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, and I'm just asking a question, the president kind of toned it down. I think his numbers would go higher, because certainly I will tell you this right now. Some of you may differ or agree with me, 904-831-0600, because Bernie Sanders doesn't have a great personality, but people like his substance. Or then again, maybe they like the personality of ODB, and that's the reason why they want to go after him. So that's, I'm just saying, people do vote on substance, and they vote on personality. But here's the question, what are they going to vote on more, personality or substance?
I think at the end of the day, they're going to vote probably on substance and what affects their back pocket issues, their pocketbook. However, you know, the word that I think the consultants like to use is likability. And the more the president, you know, goes on these profanity-laced rants and grabs his Twitter account and starts insulting people personally, I think that does hurt him. It doesn't help anybody except get some, you know, steam off of his own chest. That's the only benefit to it at all.
I get where people are coming from. I get where he's coming from. But there's a time and place to kind of just kind of chill just a tad. Some are saying. That's why I'm asking. So here's a question to you at 831-0600. If Trump was not so dogmatic with his tweets, and I understand why he does it. But believe me, he's great for entertainment on this show. We don't want it going away. We want Joe Biden not to drop out of the race. We want him to say gaffes. We want Bernie Sanders to sit back and say, the cost? I don't know the cost. You don't know the cost. They don't know the cost.
My opponents.
Yeah. They. You know? Yes. They, as you point out. So that's what I'm asking. Do you think Trump's numbers would kind of go up a little bit?
I think they'd be through the roof.
All right. 831-0600. John. Hey, John. Good morning.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey, man. What do you think?
Well, I think that you have to vote on substance. And, you know, to your question, yeah, his numbers would go up a little bit if he would tone down, you know, the rhetoric and the tweets. But that's not him, you know. So if you get a president in there who has a sparkling personality but who is a horrible president, you know, just look at the flip side of the coin. It's like I asked my children's math teacher. When he turns in a test and he gets all the right answers but doesn't show the work, he gets in trouble. So I say, okay, if he gives you a math test with all the wrong answers but shows all the work, is he going to pass?
That's kind of an interesting question. Kind of an interesting take on that. Well, let's go to Mike on line two. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, good. Thank you for calling.
All right, man. Yeah, I think if Trump had a better filter, I think his numbers would be through the roof. I really do.
I think you're correct. And by the way, Mike, you don't sound like you're being put down on the president. You're acting like an advisor.
Well, absolutely. He should be. I mean, he needs that type of guidance. I mean, if he really controlled what he said, I think there would be no stopping him. I think he's his own worst enemy right now.
All right. Hey, Mike. Yeah.
Since he started.
Mike, I'm glad you weighed in. Can you imagine if Trump's... I want to get to Bill in a second after the break. Can you imagine if Trump kind of lowered his demeanor? I would be bored on radio. Wouldn't we, Roger? Now I'm perplexed. I'm put in a mix here.
We'd have to rely on Joe Biden and his gaffes.
Man, here's an interesting take. Can you imagine if Trump kind of lowered it just a tad? The media would still try to, you know, prong him a little bit. Poke the bear. More of your calls. Always enjoy hearing from you. 904-831-0600. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Bernie Sanders won the New Hampshire primary, Pete Buttigieg about a percentage point behind, followed by Amy Klobuchar, all three in double digits. Elizabeth Warren came in fourth, Joe Biden far back in fifth, both with single-digit results. Andrew Yang and Colorado Governor Michael Bennett calling it quits last night, while former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick thinking long and hard about continuing. All eyes now turned to Nevada with caucuses February 22nd, and concerns there are growing as it could be a repeat of the chaos that ensnared the Iowa vote, Nevada facing many of the same organizational and technical challenges that crippled Iowa's process. South Carolina's primary coming up Saturday, February 29th. Actor Jussie Smollett indicted Tuesday for a second time on charges of lying to police about racist and homosexual attacks he staged on himself. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning. I'm Jerry Lederman. Our report says the man accused of running into a Republican voter registration tent over the weekend was apparently motivated by politics. News 4 Jax says an arrest report claims 27-year-old Gregory Timms told police he ran into the tent in the Walmart parking lot in Atlantic Boulevard Saturday afternoon because he doesn't like President Trump. Tim is accused of aggravated assault, criminal mischief, and driving without a license. After the president heard about what happened, he sent out a tweet saying, in his words, "Be careful, tough guys, who you play with." The Putnam County Sheriff's Office says a 13-year-old student is accused of carrying two guns, one of them loaded, in his backpack at a middle school in Palatka. The boy is identified as Joseph Allen. He'll face adult charges of possessing weapons on school grounds. Allen was arrested at Jenkins Middle School after deputies say they got a tip. The investigation into why the boy had the guns and where he got them is continuing. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
The Vindman brothers are out of the National Security Council. Ambassador Sondland has been called back from his post in Europe. What next when it comes to draining the swamp? We'll find out on the next America First with me, Dr. G. We'll have Ned Ryan in studio to talk about his new book, Restoring Our Republic, and then the latest on the increased violence against the boys and the girls in blue in New York.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, weekdays 3 till 5 on WBOB. Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
295 southbound on the Buckman Bridge, the right lane is still blocked and it's getting worse. Add an extra 21 minutes now. And Arlington Expressway eastbound, right before the Matthews Bridge, there's stop-and-go traffic at about 10 minutes. That's Arlington Expressway eastbound, right before the Matthews Bridge. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of almost 85. This evening, a few clouds, 68 the low. Right now, it's 69 degrees. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Former Empire star Jussie Smollett has been indicted again. A new report says couples cheat on their partners with unhealthy food. And it was close, but Bernie Sanders wins the New Hampshire primary.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And let me say tonight that this victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end for Donald Trump. That was ODB last night winning the New Hampshire primary. I think some Democrats, I'm not saying this, I think some Democrats may feel maybe the end of their, what they thought was going to be a slam dunk victory for this year. 831-0600. Hey, I don't put anything past anybody. After Trump won, yeah. Hey man, Bernie?
Buttigieg could be taking the oath of office in January. You never know.
Oh, boy. It wouldn't be on substance just because he would be the first gay president. Seriously, you watch. Oh, it's not a substance, but, you know, we got to vote for him because of that. So I'm telling you, there'll be defenders that are like that. 904-831-0600. 904-831-0600. Always love hearing from you. Let's get to the calls. Let's go to Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. What a great topic. I tell you, it's an often top of discussion between my wife and I about Trump's demeanor and character and how Well, I mean, it's just difficult because I fight myself on it, because every time I hear him talk or give a speech or what, at times I just cringe and I'm like, oh, just stop talking or stop tweeting. But then you think about all the attacks that he takes, consistently be called a racist and an anti-Semite and a misogynist, blah, blah, blah. And you think about, well, they did this to Romney and McCain, and they didn't fight back. They didn't do anything. They lost, you know? And the way things are and the way things that are supposed to be are completely different in politics, right? I mean, you can't just be cordial anymore. I mean, these people are blood-sucking people. They want power. And he's fighting back, and it's worked already.
But okay, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Bill, I think a lot of people would agree with you. Is the wife, is she disturbed by the demeanor? Or you said
absolutely.
Okay.
She had the same comments as the clip that you played where the woman's like, you know, I'm mortified if my children hear a press conference by this person. And I agree, too. But the sheer fact that, you know, if you listen to the other side's press conference rattling off the list of allegations, I mean, read the dossier. It is disgusting of all these charges. There are allegations they're leveling against, you know, the president. What if I was you? I mean, it's crazy.
I'm with you, man. Bill, I'll tell you where I'm fixed. And this is like, Roger, before I get back to the calls, Bill says this is a good conversation. We're like fixed between my wife and himself. Hey, I am too. I don't want Trump to drop his demeanor. I love the entertainment on the radio show. But I get it for the purpose where when it comes to reelection,
yeah.
I can I understand that part as well. Let's go to Lisa. Hey, Lisa, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Well, I just want to ask, the people who are complaining about all Donald Trump's tweets, do they actually really read them? Because I do. And I see absolutely nothing wrong with what he tweets. I would like for someone to point out a tweet that they absolutely don't like or point out the lies that he tells. I would love for someone to do that and just saying, oh, how he lies and how he does this. Well, point it out. Because I don't see nothing wrong.
Lisa, that is a very, very good point. You know, if you follow the president on Twitter, most of his tweets that we hear about, you know, no problem at all. But the ones that, you know, catch our attention and raises our eyebrows, those are the ones the media would jump on. And next thing you know, you're hearing about that for the next 3 days on the news cycle.
I don't even see anything racist. Point that out. If he says something racist, I'd like to see it because I follow him probably 90%. I read every morning, that's what I do, on his tweets.
That's the first thing you read in the morning is the tweets?
Oh, yeah, first. I'm up at 5 a.m. So that's the first thing I do is I go to his tweets to see what he's tweeted.
You know what? It'd be good entertainment. And then Lisa probably clicks over to the morning show, which is, hey, at least you're balanced.
Excuse me?
I said at least you're balanced. You know, tweets and then the morning show.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I love you, Lisa. Thank you for calling. So, no, I've never said he said anything racist. I don't buy into all that stuff. What I'm saying is that when he gets these press conferences and you want to go after Rom, I get it. And what they've done with him and the family. But I'm just saying when all the foul language and then, you know, when the verbiage comes out and how they're all a bunch of creeps, that's what he calls Democrats, a bunch of losers. I like the street language. Cleaner.
Sleazebag is what he called. What's the congressman from New Jersey who was part of the impeachment?
I don't remember. But anyway.
He's a sleazebag.
So all I'm getting at is that, you know, it's like, does the president need to tweet out about everything? No. And by the way, nor should he have to comment on everything. By the way, that's what the left says. He's got to comment on this and that. I don't know if I buy into that.
Yes.
So let's go to, but thank you for the call, Lisa. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Ed, Roger, good morning.
Hey brother, what's up?
On the president's demeanor, the left's never going to be happy with what he says, like, McCain and Romney were brought up. Us on the right, who won a fighter, and our biggest complaint is against politicians and not being, you know, saying one thing and not fulfilling that. Why are we complaining for something we wanted?
Okay, but remember, there were a lot of swing votes that are not part of the base that Trump got. And a lot of them like the policies, and I know people that are very conservative, and I'm like, guys, what about the policies versus the language? They have, and Trump cannot afford to lose some of these small percentages. He cannot lure them because he thinks that some women get, I understand why, they get offended. They like a gentleman. They don't like this demeanor of a language. They say it's gotten worse since he got into office than before he got into office, and there may be some truth to that. That's all I'm saying. You got to pick those people back up. And a lot of times, it depends on who you are. You may or you may not.
Yeah, I mean, I have 8 kids, and hey, he's fighting back, and it's not pretty. Politics is a blood sport, they say, right?
Man, I'm totally with you. What I'm saying is Trump's base is stronger than ever. Remember, there were a lot of Obama supporters, or people that voted for Obama that voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard that. And this wasn't, I mean, you're some states, the difference between New Hampshire and between Hillary and Trump was like 2,700 votes.
You had a lot of blue-collar workers who are traditional Democrats who, you know, said, there's no way I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she wants to shut down my job.
Right. Remember, Obama won in re-election of 2012 by 200-something thousand, I think maybe 240, 250 over Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Trump won the state by 120. That means there was probably, depending on how you want to look, almost a 300,000 vote difference of where they went to Obama to Trump. I'm just saying by that spread. All I'm getting at is they want to change. Trump's tweets have been a lot more than, if you want to say pro, bad, or whatever, damaging than they were beforehand. Because he's talked more, because he's been gone after more after he became president beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I get all that, folks. You guys aren't leaving Trump, and the majority of you are telling me the reason why, because he fights for you, and he fights for your beliefs. You guys aren't leaving Trump. I'm talking about those that were undecided, that supported the president, That's not the base.
And these are the people that have the power to tip the scales.
That's all I
am
saying.
When you have a country that's so divided equally, then it's the undecided guys in the middle who decides who ends up leading the country.
Yes, I know it sounds like weak, but then again, folks, we hear these poll numbers all the time. A lot of people out there want to vote for somebody they want to hang out with. If you go on a date with a friend and you want to go on a second date with somebody from church, it's the only analysis I can think of real quick.
Okay.
Do you go with the guy because he treats you so good? You say, man, we've been gone. He's treating me like a woman. Mm-hmm. Opens the door, does all of this, doesn't hide the candy.
Flowers.
The flowers, doesn't hide the candy, gives it to me. But man, his language is killing me. Here's the question. Do you say, hey, I need to have a conversation with you? And what if he doesn't change his conversation? I'm just, it's the best analysis I can think of, folks. His language, you really don't approve, or his attitude. But for crying out loud, man, he is so good to you. Maybe he's good to your kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that. The question is it the attitude based on language, or is it the attitude based on the substance and how he treats you and your kids?
Versus the guy.
That's the only analysis I know to think of.
Versus the guy who can pray in fluent Shakespearean English.
That's right.
Who pays the,
And he's a fraud.
He's everything, but he makes you pay for everything and doesn't get the door for you and, doesn't seem to care very much.
That's how I...
Can you get, all in one? Can you get the guy who is the gentleman and at the same time does all the right things?
Yeah. That's the best analysis I can think of.
Yeah.
So that's how you... Well, Ed, I'm with you, folks. I support it on the substance. Because, sometimes he repeats the same language. It's a witch. It's a hoax. Nothing new comes out. But I do it. I have to look at the substance.
And something one of our callers said once, it really resonated with me. You have to understand where he came from. He's from New York State, New York City, construction industry.
So,
the people he's associated with his whole life, this is just them. This is the way they talk,
That may resonate with a lot of people. I'm just, where I fall in this. Jussie Smollett, the actor who is gay, claimed that the MAGA country in Chicago, wearing those MAGA hats, beat him up, cried out racial, homophobe words to him. Guess what? Was let off. Now he's been indicted again for lying to the Chicago PD.
Jussie Smollett, remember him? Well, he has been indicted today by a special prosecutor in Chicago, stemming from the alleged racist and anti-gay attack on him that occurred in January of 2019. Smollett told Chicago police last year that two men physically attacked him and yelled racial and homophobic slurs. Prosecutors insist Smollett faked the racist anti-gay attack on himself in the hopes that the attention would advance his acting career. But with little explanation, authorities last year abruptly dropped all charges against Smollett, abandoning the...
Remember, now he's been indicted again. Remember the interview he had last year with ABC's Good Morning America with Robin Roberts? Listen to this Academy Award right here.
How can you doubt that? Like, how do you not believe that? It's the truth. And then it became a thing of like, oh, it's not necessarily that you don't believe that this is the truth. You don't even want to see the truth.
That guy should get an Academy Award.
I'm telling you, it's good. I mean, this guy, he's a good actor.
Here's more of the clip.
It's a disservice when you lie about things like this.
Why do you think you were targeted?
Jussie, out of all people, why were you targeted?
Because of Trump.
Because I come hard at Trump.
45.
40.
Come hard.
Here it comes.
45.
You can just assume, I come really, really hard against 45.
What's up with the low voice?
Come hard. It's part of the whole.
It's me.
This is
Roger.
Dramatic presentation. Come hard at 45.
I come really, really hard against his administration. And I don't hold my tongue. If I, the attacker, masked, and he said, this MAGA country punches me right in the face.
Wow. 904-831.
Gosh, that's creativity.
You know what the best part about it is?
If his career is over as an actor, he at least needs to write. He needs to write screenplays. He's good.
I would do a reality story just on that alone. You don't have to write. It writes itself.
You know,
I'm with you.
I feel bad in a way that he's going to be blackballed from Hollywood because there's so much talent. We won't be able to enjoy now.
You're sad? No way. I like to see a lot more blackballed.
I'm being facetious.
I know you are. Let's go to David.
All right.
Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning. I just kind of like to remind my fellow Christians out there that there was only one perfect person that ever lived. They wanted to make him king, and the religious crowd crucified him. That kind of tells me something anyway.
Wait, I need you to tell me. What do you mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, what are you
Jesus
referring to?
The religious crowd was the one that crucified Jesus.
Right.
He was the only perfect person that ever lived. They wanted to make him king. The religious crowd crucified him.
I'm trying to follow the analysis. Go deeper here with me.
All of these people that are criticizing Trump because of his language, none of them have ever been in a position where they were able to completely control all of their actions when they were angry enough. Anger will overtake and do so many things. The things that were done to Donald Trump in this last impeachment business was unconstitutional, illegal. There was not one single charge that held any water. There was no high crime. There was no misdemeanor. All they could say was he lies. What did he lie about? Nobody can tell you. If he lied so much, then they should have been able to find a reasonable charge to impeach him.
Well, I would agree with on that. I don't get the comparison with Jesus.
The comparison is that people who are looking for the man to be perfect forget that the one perfect person that ever lived was crucified because he was perfect. They don't understand that. There's a great deal to it. I don't want somebody who's absolutely perfect.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess I kind of...
He can't reasonably expect it.
I was just trying to follow where the religious analysis was going. Did you catch it?
I did, yeah. Okay. I think he was, you know, he was saying that all the people who are criticizing
Stop. Technically, didn't the religious leader, if you want to go down this road, weren't they technically correct about Jesus? Did he not claim to be the king of the Jews? Did he not heal people on the Sabbath? He did all those things. Was it illegal? Well, according to who? Get what I'm saying?
Mm.
I mean, they were technically right on a lot of things.
I think
they were right because he was right.
You know what? It doesn't really sit well with me when they say the religious leaders did it. You know, the Romans did it too. It was all of us. And these people were animated by forces that we can't see.
Roger, he was correct. It was the religious leaders of his day.
Okay.
The Pharisees, the Sadducees.
I don't believe that these people were smart enough to come up with the idea on their own. I'll just say
Heck yeah, they did.
These people were animated by...
They followed him around by
spiritual things going on beyond what they could see.
He was still human. They followed him around to tempt him and to trick him. All right?
Well.
All right.
He assaulted their pride. I'll say that for sure.
Well, I'm kind of glad about that. But he did it in kind of a nice tone in most part. But okay, anyway. 904-83. What? Listen. More on the other side. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Not a lot has changed. 95 northbound between 295 and University at about 9 minutes. And Arlington Expressway eastbound, right before the Matthews Bridge, at an extra 10 minutes. And 295 southbound on the Buckman Bridge, we still have that 21-minute setback. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of almost 85. This evening, a few clouds, 68 the low. Right now, it's 69 degrees.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
You do know, don't you, that if any of the liberal Democrats running for president win the White House, your taxes will go up. The debt will also rise because those new taxes will be used for even more spending and more programs to addict more people to government so the left will rule forever. With higher taxes, jobs will be lost. Unemployment, especially for minorities, will rise. The record stock market gains will be history, and we'll be back to the bad old days of Barack Obama. The federal government doesn't need more money. Politicians need self-control. control. Washington has been taking in record amounts of tax revenue for years, but it goes out the door as fast as it comes in. The left also plans to increase Social Security taxes. They'll say it's necessary to save the program, but it will hurt middle and low-income workers most. High-tax states already have combined federal, state, and local tax rates over 50%. It's why people are moving out of those states to lower or no-tax states. But you can't escape federal taxes. Keep that in mind as the campaign continues. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
Florida's Everglades. A sportsman's paradise. An angler's wonderland. And a big part of Florida's economy. But today, Florida's Everglades is on life support. Florida is doing its part. But now the politicians in Washington are dragging their feet. Don't let Florida's Everglades get swamped by D.C. politics. Visit EvergladesFoundation.org to learn how you can help.
25 years has seen a lot of changes, but one thing hasn't changed. The quality of CopyFax, a family-owned business taking pride in their service and products. Back up all of your business files easily with CopyFax. Full color is the same low cost as black ink. CopyFax is ideal for anything from in-home office to corporate multi-user. CopyFax is proud to serve our local military. Visit CopyFax.com. That's CopyFax.com.
Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence. They rescue and train shelter dogs to be paired as service dogs for warriors with service-connected post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and or military sexual trauma. Join their mission and be a part of their 2020 campaign to reduce the veteran suicide rate of 20 a day, because 20 is a name, not a number. Learn more at caninesforwarriors.org.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Coming up next, it is, if you just go to WBOB.com, we've got the podcast, very fast pace, and she's in the studios with us now. She's going to join us for the podcast. Covers a lot on the economy and the real estate, rapid fire real estate. The very popular Anita Hiles, my word, who's Hello. On here at 5 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're back on the air together, Anita.
I know. I love it. Always Don't start, great to Roger. See you guys.
Let me ask a quick, by the way, what's on for tonight's show, real quick?
We're going to talk about Homestead because it's due this month, and people that, there's a lot involved in that, so we're going to discuss
Homestead
that.
Exemptions.
Yes.
We did a story at FloridaDaily.com. Whenever we need, like, about the real estate market or the economy, you always go to Anita. We did a story where there were certain tax collectors, I think, or the supervisor of elections, both together, were looking at homestead exemptions where people weren't filing them properly. And you're like, hey, this, whether it was done yes. purposely or not, you say, this is nothing new. It happens.
It does. And it surprises me. But the majority of, I would say, homes that we put on the market aren't homestead. And it's... they're losing out on a lot of savings. So we're going to talk about that on the show today. And then we're also going to talk about, there's so many things that get that are exempt, and not only on the, you know, that you own a house, but let's say that you've got your mother-in-law living with you, or you're buying another home. How can we transfer that? So we're going
to discuss. How can you transfer your mother-in-law to another place to live? I think some people are asking that.
Well, we're actually going to talk about that.
Mortgage default rates at the highest level since that of the Great Recession, according to the Federal Reserve. $14 trillion people have in debt. Mortgage refinancing going through the roof, the highest they've seen since that of 2005, according to the Federal Reserve. National Association of Home Builders, Jerry Howard, asked, how is the debt rate, the default rate, so high?
The default rate is at its highest level since the financial crisis. Can you explain that?
We're trying to figure it out ourselves. This is really, really shocking to us, Stuart. I got to tell you, the economy is strong.
Yep.
Unemployment is low. Mortgage rates are low. And yet we're seeing an uptick. Now, the only thing I can say about it with certainty is, when you look at it in perspective, it's still a relatively low number.
All right, so I always say spin. I don't mean a bad way. But the people, other groups of people in the financial world will say, yeah, they're acquiring more debt because they're making more money. This is not foreclosures, but it's kind of near there, mortgage default rates. I mean, after 200-something days, it gets written off. Why is the rate, I mean, what have you seen? Why are the rates so high?
Well, the rates aren't high, but
the default rates.
Yes, but. I would say that, yes, people are making more money. People are spending a little more money, and people still need to be conservative. I mean, you know, we talk about that on the show, you know.
Is the attitude they cannot afford it? The attitude is you're just getting more debt? It doesn't mean they're all in home debt.
I think they're just getting into more debt. It's like they're comfortable. It's like when the economy does well, people like to spend. And we haven't done a total recovery, and so that's what people need to keep in mind. Even though the economy is doing well, we're still in the real estate market, still recovering from the Great Recession.
Listen to real estate. He's an agent and was a commentator, Brian Lewis, on the Florida real estate market.
But I got to tell you, you know, Florida has always been the escape, right? You've got Texas, you've got Florida, you've got Washington State, Tennessee, no state income tax.
Yeah.
So there are places to go.
So how's the market here in Northeast Florida and Jacksonville real estate? I mean, this is still a good economy.
It's a great economy. And it was in the paper just a couple weeks ago that Florida is the number one place to move to. We were like in the top five. We are now the number one place. We beat Texas. We beat also Austin, Texas, that Florida is the go-to place. So our economy here in real estate is thriving, and you can just see that by all the builders. We have tons of new construction.
I've got to go. Everybody wanted to call at the last minute. I'm not able to. So I think some of you that are on hold will have to do it tomorrow morning. I know you're going to join us for the podcast, which
yes.
is coming up next at 9 a.m. Just go to WBOB.com and click on the Ed Dean Extra. Don't forget tonight, Rapid Fire Real Estate, 5 p.m. live.
That's correct.
By the way, it's the only part that's not live is the on the, who's running the board on the other side. Anyway, not Roger. I'm talking about someone. It's a
Be
little joke.
Nice. Come on.
Anyway, hey.
I love AJ.
Thankful to God every day for the show. Thankful to all of you that tune in. You can always email me, ed@wbob.com. That's ed@wbob.com. Thursday already. Tomorrow we've got the rip-off of the week. A lot of guests lined up for you. Real good guest. Real good. Steve Beeman's going to be in town tomorrow.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Ed Dean and Roger right here on Talk Radio WBOB.